You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction.
It's the Rediscover the Road sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Got Carlos Boozer coming up in just a moment, one of our favorites, longtime NBAer, and a big podcast guy. He's got clothing program going on, and he's always got some interesting takes, and we'll get his thoughts on the Raptors taking on Brooklyn on Monday, game one of their first-round series. And Josh Lundberg, I think, wrote a really appropriate article up on TSN.ca about how we're going full circle here, where Brooklyn was the team that the Raptors were kind of chasing, even if you go back to, you know, 06, 07, when they made it in and the Raptors lost to Vince and Jason Kidd, and Jason Richardson was on that team. And then obviously a few years ago with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, Deron Williams, couldn't get past them. And now it's the Raptors are the big boys. And Brooklyn's a team that not a lot of people are focused on and don't think much of and don't believe they've got a shot against Toronto. And we'll see how it starts on Monday.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah. The Raptors, listen, there's a lot of people giving them love. I know we complain about that. Like, you know, do they get enough attention? Do they get enough love? The schedule is bogus. Like, it just is. The first three games.
Right.
Early on, midweek.
4 o'clock starts, though, right?
Yeah, 4 o'clock, and then 2:30 starts. Like, that's 1:30 Wednesday, 1:30 on Friday for the championship team, the reigning champs. I think is a little bit greasy. You could slide in a 6:30 or a 9 o'clock game, but
it's almost like the
that.
American markets have a real tough time saying former champs, like past champs.
Yeah,
it's like they can't even digest it and say it.
Yeah. Well, there's two gyms, but if you have two games starting at 6:30 and two at 9, that's four games. You're telling me there are four matchups of eight total, like, that are constantly going to be in primetime? Like, that's obviously what's happening. So, hey, it is what it is. The Raptors, I think Nick Nurse had a great approach. He said, I'd prefer the afternoon games. You know, spin it into a positive. Get it over with early in the day. Move on with your day. Go out there, just routine, all business. Take care of it. Get your win. See you later. But listen, the Raptors will get their time to shine in the spotlight and in prime time if they keep moving on, right? Like, that's what happened last year. When you're in the NBA Finals, doesn't matter what people think in New York or Chicago or Miami or Atlanta or L.A. Sorry, guys, we're here. It's us.
Yep.
We're playing tonight. So if you want to watch the NBA Finals, we're the ones playing in it. And I think a lot of people are starting to come around to the idea that the Raptors, maybe not favored, maybe shouldn't be favored, but should be in the running clearly based on their standings, based on their stats, based on their roster, their mindset, their coaching, their defense.
Well,
they get a real shot at going back to the NBA Finals.
Yeah. Who from the East is in your opinion, ranked ahead of them?
Like just Milwaukee, yeah.
That's it.
Like, only Milwaukee. Oh, yeah.
Is that the only guy in your bubble seduction, Giannis Antetokounmpo?
No, there'd be more than that. In my bubble seduction to get him out of the bubble so that the Raptors don't have to worry about him. Giannis would be one of them.
Yeah.
I think Chris Middleton on his own, on that team is another one. Jimmy Butler scares me.
Yeah.
Because
he plays well against
Jimmy
the Raptors.
B.
Always plays well. Like, he was the reason that Philly series went seven. Like, he was their best player in that series.
He is also the reason they couldn't beat Chicago about eight times because he would be dialed in.
That's right. Exactly. When he was with the Bulls, they lost like 14
and they were
or 15
terrible.
Games in a row. They were awful.
Yeah.
They were a terrible team. But the Raps would always lose to Chicago. So I would say Jimmy Butler's in there. Jason Tatum would probably be one of them. I don't know. There's a few. We'll do that
Monday.
At some point. Yeah, Monday, I guess. Yeah.
Hey, weren't we supposed to have trivia today?
Yeah, that kind of fell by the wayside. I don't know
Grappler,
if we have.
Grappler let that one go. Or maybe little Jonas was Jonas was just not available. Can't say little. That's
it's
so
not
obnoxious.
So yeah. It's not
so obnoxious.
It's
I apologize.
It's
I apologize.
Jonas is our buddy.
He's better than
nerd.
That.
Yeah.
No.
Nerd
yeah. Nerd's better. Yeah. No. I apologize immediately.
Well,
I knew I.
And as I established yesterday, those are not two competitors that we should care much about. Kara Wagner and Lindsay Hamilton beat us in trivia. It's shocking the world. I think people are still wondering how that happened.
The protest
I'll tell you,
is still grappler, going.
Grappler and some brutal answers that were let go. And well, Noodles was a factor in that.
I don't
they were
think
like,
you guys
what about
were,
this? And you were
I don't
like,
think
ah,
you guys
anything
are
else
really
you want to say?
You know what happened is I don't think you guys, like, took the competition very serious. You were too Tuukka-Rask. You didn't feel like
it
was a playoff game. Yeah, it was an exhibition game. And quite honestly, Kara and Lindsay came in and rinsed you guys up pretty good.
Yeah, it was bad. We got smoked. I mean, well, we didn't get smoked. It was a close enough game, but we lost.
I mean, I think they took their foot off the gas.
They might have. Yeah, they may have shown some mercy, which I guess Kirk Muller didn't do today for the Philadelphia Flyers.
It's like trending on Twitter.
I
was
5-0.
It wasn't 12-0.
No,
and
know.
They're trying to win a playoff game.
Yeah,
maybe Vigneault is just trying to muster up some
you're right.
for the next game.
Yeah, that's and that might be the play. That might be trying to inspire his own team. We'll get into that later in the hour. James Duthie will join us around 6:30. But the NBA bubble, like the regular season, it's pretty much over now. We know which 8 teams are moving on in the East. We know which 9 teams are going to be there in the West, including a play-in game between Memphis and Portland. And to chat about it, we're joined now by longtime NBAer. And we've had him on before. He's always great to have on here is Carlos Boozer. How you doing, Carlos?
Guys, I'm doing well. How you guys doing? Everybody safe and sound?
Yeah, safe and sound. We're ecstatic up here, man. The Raptors are setting franchise records for winning percentages the year after Kawhi and Danny Green left. I mean, we've been watching it all year because they just kept chipping away. They go 7-1 in the bubble in the regular season. Only Phoenix had a better stat line than that. But as a guy outside of the Toronto bubble, how do you look at the Raptors? I mean, can you put it into perspective how they've managed to be so good and so consistent considering all the injuries and the fact that Kawhi and Danny Green left?
Yeah, actually, it's very, very surprising. I mean, you think, you know, like Kawhi, who gives you guys your championship the 1 year that he's there, and then you guys come back and you guys are just as successful. I mean, people forget that Toronto's always had a really good basketball team. I mean, always. I can't even think of a time when you guys weren't good. So there's always been that playoff atmosphere, tough guys that know how to play basketball. You've always had good coaches in place. Whatever system you guys have won, you guys have always went to the playoffs. So it's not as surprising to me, but you just from a basketball fan outside of Toronto, nobody expected you guys to do this good. We thought you guys maybe would drop off a little bit, maybe be the 5th, 6th, 7th seed. But no, you guys have got great players. Guys have stepped up. You know, Van Fleet's been incredible. I really do think Lowry's a phenomenal leader, one of the more pit bull kind of throwback point guards that we have in the NBA, who's done a great job leading that team. And then you guys have not only just your starters, but your bench is great as well. You guys don't get a big drop-off when you go to your bench. So they could really be the dark horse of the East. I know everybody's talking about Milwaukee. Everybody's talking about Boston because they have that positionless basketball they have over there. But Toronto is definitely a team that's going to be a super tough out come playoff time on Monday.
What do you make of the Phoenix Suns wheeling down there to Florida and going 8-0 and then just going home? Isn't that kind of bizarre to think about? Like, the whole idea was to go down there, prove something, you might get some kind of action, but they're just 8-0 and out.
It's weird. It makes you wonder what happened during the rest of the year. You know, down there in the bubble, in the $1 billion bubble down there in Disney, there's no distractions, right? You're in the same gym. The same couple of courts. You got nothing but basketball. You got your teammates. I think they just now started letting other family members come to the bubble, I believe, is what I heard. But for the most part, you just have you and your guys. You know, the wagons are circled, so to speak, and it's just you guys playing against whoever you're playing against. Not that many fans. You got the virtual fans. So it makes you wonder what was going on with this team. Maybe they had injuries. Maybe they had some dysfunction. I have no idea. But down in the bubble, woo, they probably were the hottest team in the bubble. Obviously, they're going to miss the playoffs because they had such a poor season before the bubble. But during the bubble, they were the hottest team.
Yeah, you knew what the rules were going in. So I guess you can't ultimately complain. But I would think if I'm on that Suns team, I'm leaving the bubble thinking, what was the point, man? Like,
yeah.
Right.
We
went 8-0, and we didn't even get
better than that.
Yeah, like it's like you got to give us a chance to get into this play-in tournament or so. Even if we got to win 3 in a row beyond this or something, because that was kind of the story of the bubble was what Phoenix was doing. But on top of that, I guess were the other 2 teams who did end up qualifying, and that would be Portland and Memphis. And Portland's just got to win one of the next 2 games. If they win tomorrow, they're in. even if they lose tomorrow, if they win on Sunday, they're still in. Memphis has got to go 2-0 to get in. But it feels like it's kind of all about Damian Lillard right now and the performances that he's been put on. He went off for 42 points last night. Where does he rank for you in terms of, you know, scary opponents? If you're the Lakers and the idea of playing a guy like Damian Lillard and he is red hot right now, do you think that scares LeBron and company, or how do you feel about that?
No, I do think, listen, I think Dame has been the hottest player in the bubble. I mean, he, you know, had a mishap, missing a couple of free throws against the Clippers, and he's been on a tear ever since. Not to mention, he's really been on a tear all season. He had a great season this year, despite his team having some struggles with injuries and trying to make the playoffs and what have you. But in the bubble, I mean, 61, backs it up with a 51, in a must-win game, backs it up with a 42, comes up with a huge steal at the end of that game to give them an even greater chance to seal that victory. And then McCollum does a great job on LeVert to get a stop right there on the step-back fadeaway. Just Portland's had to win multiple games to get in. They had some luck. Obviously, Memphis had to lose some games. They did that, and they gave them a great chance to get in. These playoff playing games are going to be very interesting come tomorrow, and if we have another one on Sunday. But if I'm the Lakers, they're sitting right where they want to be at. They got one of the most talented rosters. They got two of the best players on the planet. And is Dame a scary threat? Yes. Has LeBron seen scary threats? Yeah. You know, he played against the Golden State Warriors in their dynasty for many years, back after back after back. So he's prepared for a Dame Lillard. Now, the rest of those guys, Carmelo, you know, Hassan Whiteside, Nurkic is back, C.J. McCollum, the rest of that crew, I mean, Gary Trent Jr. is playing terrific as well. Those are the guys that's going to have to step up in a major, major way if they're going to be David and Goliath and knock down the number one seed in the Lakers. I do think they have a chance, but it's a very small chance. The Lakers are by far the favorite. LeBron being an MVP candidate. Anthony Davis should be an MVP candidate, but definitely a defensive player of the year candidate. They have the upper hand in that series.
We have longtime NBA Carlos Boozer. LeBron James wrapping up another remarkable season and a first for him. He led the league in assists, which he's never done before, and it's his 17th season, which is just incredible. You know him. You play with him. You've been following him his whole career. But can you put that into perspective for us? 17 years into the league, 35 years old, and he just accomplished something he's never accomplished before, and it's a pretty incredible stat. Like, everyone's chasing an assist stat, and he got it.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. You think about him being – this is the thing that always surprised me about LeBron. Well, I remember when we got him in Cleveland his rookie year, we all knew right away that his biggest asset that he loved to do was pass the ball. Like, he loved making his teammates better, finding guys in rhythm, on time, on target, making the game easier for his guys. Yet he's third all-time in the history of NBA basketball in scoring. And then, right. And then in this year where everybody's saying, oh, you were so dominant in the East because the East is weaker. You went to the finals 8-9 years in a row, whatever it was, only because it's the East. Then he goes to the West. He's hurt last year, so they missed the playoffs towards the end of that season. And this year, he jumps up to number. He got the number one team in the West, and he's leading the NBA in assists. Like, he's an anomaly. I mean, I don't know this. I mean, I think the only other guy I can think of like that's similar to him that played this great at this late in his career. I mean, Karl Malone was very good. Kareem was very good. Michael was pretty good. I mean, he's on a bad team with the Wizards when he came back, but he was still averaging over 20 points a game as a 40-year-old, which is pretty impressive. Kobe was very successful towards the end. Didn't get a ring, but he was still scoring a lot of points. And to be able to lead the league in assists when there's so many good passers, so many good playmakers in the NBA, very, very, very great feat that he's doing. Incredible.
Yeah, that really is incredible. Getting back to the East, the Raptors, we know, are going to play Brooklyn. They should roll. I mean, Brooklyn's – I'll give them a lot of credit. They got a makeshift roster, and they've shown up in the bubble, and they perform pretty well. With a winning record, but the Raptors are expected to roll. Milwaukee is expected to roll and should. Beyond that, though, once you get past Toronto and Milwaukee, is there a series that you're focused on, or maybe one of the top-end teams that you think could be in trouble in the first round, whether it's Boston or Miami?
I'm going to be honest. The series that I'm looking forward to is that Miami versus Indiana series. There was so much drama between T.J. Warren and my boy Jimmy Buckets. And I just want to see how that all plays out, because T.J. Warren with the exception of Dame Lillard, was probably the hottest player in the bubble until they played the Miami Heat, and he had like 12 points. But he was averaging like 45 points before that. Then he ran into Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy shut that thing down to about 12 points, and his average dropped dramatically. So I want to see how it plays out over the course of the series. I remember the quotes that Jimmy said back in the season, and I want to see that. I just love rivalries like that when guys go at it, when they talk a little noise to each other. That's what made the NBA so much fun when I got in the NBA. People would talk to you, then they would go back it up. I'm looking forward to that series. I do, for you guys with Toronto, the best player on the floor is going to be Pascal Siakam, and he's obviously jumped up into a major role this year. He's been played phenomenal. I think he learned a lot from Kawhi, and he's kind of jumped into that next level of being a superstar, being able to carry a team. He'll be the best player on the floor in that series that you guys have against Brooklyn. So I completely expect Toronto to roll and win that series. And also, I feel like Boston, nobody's really talking about Boston. They have a bunch of similar guys across the board that are like 6'7", 6'8", can do multiple things, guard multiple positions. And I'm curious to see how they do come postseason this year. But, yeah, I think that the series I'm looking forward to the most would have to be that Miami-Indiana series.
Yeah, that's going to be quality.
The trash talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that as well. He is longtime NBAer Carlos Boozer. You can check out his clothing line, holdthatclothing.com. It's always great to catch up with you. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
There's Carlos Boozer, longtime NBAer, stay-at-home dad.
Yeah, I love it.
His kid was
obviously holding his kid.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, we've all been there before. I was on Landsberg and Koliakovo last week, and my 15-month-old was chasing me around the house. Like, I was trying to get away from her to talk with them, and then when they would start talking, I'd put the phone on mute and be like, shh, okay, where's mommy? Where are we going here?
No, they don't care, dude. No. They don't
care.
You
text yesterday going, what the hell is that noise? And it was my kid banging on the door.
Oh, you had all kinds of
my
kid
office
issues
door.
Running around. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see you, like, you were trying to be so
waving
discreet.
Waving at the kid.
But I could tell you were hitting the volume so no one could hear you, and you were like, get out of this office now!
I have a lock on the door, but I've got a glass so you can see through the door, like a window, and I could see these two little eyes, this little face in there. I was like, get the hell out of here, you know, like we're trying to focus.
Yeah.
And I don't know where Steph was and Estella. Like
he was probably sleeping on the couch with a bag of chips.
Oh, no.
It's
been
5 months, man.
I got to the bottom of it, floating in the pool. Yeah.
Oh, just out there having a swim. Oh, good.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
Just having a grand old time. Well, listen, I had when you guys were off a few weeks ago, my oldest came down into the office and she got some screen time.
I saw that. I was watching the show. She came right in. No problem. And just owned it.
Right
too.
In there. And once she saw that she was on, she wasn't leaving. I had to give her the point, like, go sit over there. And then she came back. And now she wants to come down every day. I'm like, okay, that's enough. I don't think so. But when finally putting this to bed and going back in, we'll bring all the kids in for like the final segment or something.
Yeah, we'll have some fun with it. Yeah, exactly.
Because we're all at home. I mean, they're all up. They're upstairs. Like my family's up there. I don't know what the hell they're doing for 3 hours. I go up and poke my head up every couple of breaks, and half the time they're there, half the time they're outside. Who knows? But thanks again to Carlos Boozer. Again, the Raptors taking on Brooklyn. Their series beginning on Monday. James Duffy will join us. We'll get his take on what the head coach of the Flyers, Alain Vigneault, had to say about the Montreal Canadiens and the way the Habs played today. We'll start teeing up the Canucks game, the Flames game tonight. There's a lot going on in the NHL, so we'll catch up with JD. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we're going to call up James Duffy here in just a moment.
Some guy took a picture of me. I was looking down, and the grappler was concerned that I was sleeping during the show.
I saw that.
He's like, are you having a snooze in this pic? I'm like, no, Graps. I wouldn't do that.
No, it's just you're very casual today. It's casual Friday.
Yeah, and I had my arms crossed, and I was kind of looking down at my laptop, and grappler had the understanding that I was asleep.
Uh-oh. Well, we have seen that before on radio. Radio being televised, it has happened.
So I've done that before, you're saying.
No, I didn't say you did.
It happened to the guy in the States.
Yeah, it happened with Mike Francesa in New York.
That guy was sleeping,
though. Was it confirmed that he fell asleep, though?
He claims. I think he vehemently denied originally, and then afterwards he gave the old, "I may have closed my eyes, but I wasn't asleep."
Routine. Dude, send me the clip, and I'll tell you.
Oh, he was asleep, dude. I don't need you to. I'll show it to you. It's famous. It's everywhere. You can find
it. I'll just find
YouTube.
It myself tonight. I'll Google it.
He is out because you can. Everyone has had the same reaction when you're asleep and then you wake up in a moment like that.
Yeah.
And he's. I think a guest was speaking. He might have been taking a phone call from just a caller. And he is out, and he wakes up because his head bobs, and then he looks at his producer like, where am I, and what time is it, and what planet am I on right now? Like, he was out. Just his reaction would indicate that he was definitely out.
And our buddy Pete Rose, he took a little nap on a panel.
I think Pete Rose was out. Yep, I think so. I don't know if that one was as confirmed, though. Like but Pete Rose, to his credit, was openly complaining. It's like, it's too late. I don't want to be here. It's 2 in the morning.
He was Marty Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Like,
I can't do this. It's too late.
All hours of the night. Exactly.
Yeah. He was burning that midnight oil, and old Pete wanted to get back to Vegas and sign some autographs and go to sleep.
The grappler just forwarded. He said the headline is Francesa falls asleep twice on air.
Did he fall asleep a second time? I don't remember the second moment. The first one was world famous because he was massive in New York. Like, he was one of the original.
He still is.
Yeah, he retired, though.
He's got his own show.
I think he's gone now.
I thought they brought him back. He has another show or something.
He retired and then he came back, but now I think he's gone.
He's done again.
I think. I don't know, but like, he, Mike and the Mad Dog was like the original sports radio, two guys yelling at each other, and it just massively famous and just like all-time great sports radio. But he had been doing the show on his own forever because Mad Dog moved to Sirius, I think.
Wow.
And he fell asleep. And there's just no denying it. Like, he's out. Like, there's just no way you can deny it. And we almost had a Francesa moment. Is that what the grappler's claiming? That you
I would never do that. Even in my worst days, I would never. There's been times where I've been tired. I would never. I understand that regardless of what's going on in my life, like, you can't fall asleep during the show. Come on, grappler. Like, give me a little bit of credit.
Yeah, no, it's
one of those picks
was.
Where I'm looking down. It's just, like, you guys are, come on.
There's multiple picks. Actually, multiple people have picked it up. Like, this is going viral. I'm just looking at this is Brent send it in, Lisa, Nick, and Tim. 4 different people within about 3 or 4 minutes sent in a picture.
It's just a view of it. That's all, because people had sent it to, I'm looking off to the left. I'm looking at my computer screen's to the left. So I'm looking at my Twitter feed when I'm looking over. And, looks like he's just looking down. Yeah, it does look like you're having
I know where this dummy's going. He's going to claim that I actually am nodding off.
No,
I had a 3-hour nap today.
I know you did. You called me when you snapped out of it, and I could tell you were knocking off the rust.
Who has a three-hour nap?
Dude, when I golf early, I've made a point where I'm going to work out before early golf. So 7:30 tee time, I had to be in the gym at 6. And after golf, it's a feed bag, and then I am out. Because I can't do it.
That's a long day. I had the similar situation yesterday. Like, when I'm up at 6 a.m., and I don't sleep well when I know I have to be up.
Yeah, because you're like, I don't want to miss golf.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't actually nap yesterday, but I was gassed. Like, I was so tired by the time we hit 4 o'clock, let alone 7 o'clock.
You did not have a nap yesterday?
No, I didn't. I came home and we started working on the IKEA stuff. Like, I walked in the house and the IKEA guys had dropped off the shipment and we opened up some boxes and started doing work.
I would have drove right to Channel 9 court in Scarborough and said, we're in studio today.
I should have, and slept on that couch right outside the studio.
I don't know how. See, this is why golf isn't at the top of my list. There's people, like, you have to get up too early to do it if you want to do it early.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told you this before. One of my buddies shoots like 120 every time, and he golfs and loves it. But, like, we'll be out at 10 o'clock at night, and he would be like,
exhausted.
I got to go home. I've got a 5:05 tee time tomorrow morning. I'm like, it doesn't matter. You shoot 120.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could stay up drunk all night. No, I got to get some sleep. I got to be fresh for it.
I hear you, Noodles. And because I've had a weird relationship with golf. I've played it for 30 years, but I have gone years without playing. Like in my 20s when I lost interest, I didn't have money, I was out. Like I just wasn't into it. And I had the same experience because I was going out. I was in my 20s and I'm partying and stuff. I'm like, I'm not getting up. But if you are into it, there's no better feeling than you're out there and it's like 7:45 and the sun's, it's getting warmer and you're playing well. It's just the greatest feeling. Like right. There's just, we had it yesterday. We're the first ones out. There's no one in front of us. We didn't wait once.
No.
We stepped it's up, glorious. Teed off. It's
like, that's why, Bri, when I talk about waiting in golf, I've spoiled myself because that's the only way I can play. I hate people behind me rushing me. I hate rushing someone in front of me. I just like to have the course where it's like the greens are perfect. You're the first guys out there. It's beautiful morning. That's my vision of golf.
Yep.
How about the bugs?
It's a beautiful thing. Oh, really? Non-existent, man. It's
I didn't see a bug. We were in the middle of a forest yesterday in Uxbridge. I didn't see a bug.
Nope, nothing. Wow. We saw Duthie rolling putts on the practice green. I got video of him hitting, like he was dialed in.
He was.
Being a hero?
No, he looked good. Like I've seen him out there, man. He shot 78 with me. I've seen him shoot 78 and 81. I played with him twice, and here he is, Mr. 78. James Duthie.
Always seen me shoot 76 and fall apart and cost him his match against the Toronto Maple Leafs GM. So we've seen both sides too.
Yeah, that's the sport, man. It's a wild scene, and it's
when you don't have much talent, then you're going to have good days and bad days.
I think the shot that pisses me off the most is when I got it out of that mess.
Can we just let it go?
No, I know, but I got it out of the mess, and then you were in the fescue, and you put me in more of a mess.
Yeah, the one that pissed me off the most is when you putted it 2 inches and left it on the fringe for me.
Yeah, and then you putted it 1 inch, and it stayed there again.
Lie. Yeah. I put it to 4 feet. You missed.
All right, boys. Come on now. Your teammates.
Yeah, you should have seen this. There was television cameras there, and Jerry D and Kyle Dubas are chopping broccoli on one side of the green, and me and Duthie just brought our ninja swords out, and we start slapping it around ourselves. I'm like, there's a guy with a camera watching. It was like Dorf on golf, like 2 inch. It was horrible.
I know your listeners probably get bored with golf stories, but just a quick recap of yesterday. I got a text from O. I was very, very good about asking me out for golf and says, hey, do you want to play wooden sticks with me and Hayes next Thursday or whatever? I'm like, yeah, okay, no, just let me get back to you. 2 hours later, yeah, you're out. The guy said only a twosome could get out early.
So I didn't know how else to say it. When you actually told me, you're like, yeah, I'm going to be there too, I was like, that would have been so brutal if I brought out two other guys and we were wheeling around nine and you were like, you son of a bitch.
It was an awkward moment anyway because I saw, I'm like, there he is. I can see Duthie on the putting green. We're like, do we stop or just roll off to 10? And I'm like, yeah, we got to turn. We got to go say hi. Like, it's our buddy who's at the course at this time.
I know,
time.
But if I had said we can only play as a two because we got to wheel out early,
we'd have camouflage face paint. Yeah, we'd be darting through there.
Yeah.
And I would never disparage Wooden Sticks, which I'm sure you guys have talked about is a wonderful place. And Craig and the boys are awesome out there. But I did, you guys, so I'm guessing you guys got around in about 3:30. Right?
Oh, less than that. Just over three, we bombed.
Okay, so I got the one thing I'll say about the sticks is that you do get you do get some guys who, like, it's their one round of the year, because they choose to go to Wooden Sticks because it's so great. So we had those guys in front of us.
So that's tough.
It came in at 4:55.
Oh, what? See, Hayes, that's what I'm talking about. That's the difference. Yeah, they were out there for – are you being serious?
Can't you say something to them, though?
I'm not kidding, because I was playing Coppenwood. We were doing 36, and I had it all planned to play the 18, get a nice leisurely lunch. Coppenwood has a great range, and instead we were sweating, racing over there, breaking speed limits. But, the sticks is great. It just and you know what? It was those guys – and. I'm very hesitant to ever say anything to anybody on a golf course, but these were the guys who were riding around spending 20 minutes looking for balls. It was really painful.
Yeah.
So were people holding you up, or they were just chopping?
No, just them. Like, there was, you know, five empty holes in front of them.
Oh, that's infuriating.
Oh, no. You know,
so on how, 17, who are these people?
I don't know. 17, the TPC hole. They must have each hit, because I'm guessing it's their first time at Wooden Sticks, which really is a treat. They must have hit seven tee balls each. And the drop area is off the green on 17. But they all wanted to get it on, and they were all terrible, so they probably hit seven balls each into the water as we
Dude,
stood there.
There's only one play there. There's only one play. And you text your wife after seven holes, and you say, message me right now and tell me to get my ass home.
Yeah, you almost that's 5 hours, man, because we were lucky that they let us out before a foursome that was supposed to go out.
No, there was like 10 guys, like a bunch of
and they were like, yeah, you guys go ahead. We were wrapping up 18. They were teeing off, I think, on like 13.
Yeah,
it's a rarity for that to happen, and it tested my patience greatly. But I had three guys who were members at my club at King's Riding who don't get out to, you know, the Coppinwoods and Wooden Sticks very often. So you're on a normal day, I would have done that exact thing. I would have bailed or just gone past them and skipped that hole or whatever. So anyway,
are you going to do?
Can't you yell, let's go? Like, you can't just go let's go. Like,
what about just the simple little comment, but keep it nice? Like, guys, we've been out here for 3.5 hours. We're not even close to being done. Like, let's get moving.
Can we play through? Do you mind if we play through? I mean, that's...
Play through. It was the guys in his group.
Yeah.
His buddies were doing this nonsense.
It's one of those courses, though, where you're always kind of... I guess we would catch them sort of on the tee, but they would be taking their tee because we waited so long in the fairway. And We never had the moment where we were right up there. Like, if we quite often were driving up to the tee box as they were hitting, but then they, like, I think they knew they were slow, so they were running and pulling away. I think they gave us a really sorry guys a couple of times, so they kicked the sympathy in. It was just, we did have the whole day. We knew we were playing another 18, so it wasn't that bad, but yeah, that's tough. To me, I'm not like, wants to get out, get done. I don't mind, but I am one who lacks the patience too. Like, I think you should get around to golf in 3:45 or something like that.
Barely.
Right?
Yeah. 3:15 is more than enough.
Anything over four, like if you're with a foursome and you're gambling and you're putting everything out, then maybe it's 4 hours, but it should be more than that. What do you make of this Alain Vigneault, Kirk Muller stuff? I kind of love it. Like, this, I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen in game three, where the Habs laid a beating on Philly today. And Kirk Muller, I guess, had the power play out late. And Muller said, I think, after the game, he's like, we weren't very good against Pittsburgh. We're working on some things. We got an opportunity. It's the playoffs. And Vigneault went public and said he didn't like it. And I'm team Habs on this and team Kirk Muller.
So am I. If you don't like it, don't get your asses kicked 5-0 or whatever.
Right.
I think Philly's lucky to have a game in this series, because Montreal owned him in the second period of game one, and they kind of squeaked that one out. And this was just like men against boys. And it was really cool to see. Look, it's like the hokey sports movie scene, right? Where the ailing coach or teammate, it's been in every movie, the Gipper and Hoosiers and every other thing where they did it. They did it for real. Like, their coach has a heart procedure and thankfully he's doing well. And they came out from like the opening faceoff and were just flying. And I'm not saying that was the whole thing, but that plays into it. I think there's some emotion there. Claude Julien is a pretty popular guy, and beating on the Flyers.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, it was.
And I mean, that's what you're looking for if it's all about Canadian content. Is the Habs? I'll give them full credit. They've been very impressive. Like, they were very impressive against Pittsburgh, and I think in game one, Philly got them. You know, Philly looked like that top seed that was rolling themselves, but a huge response now. Vancouver's up 1-0. I thought they looked really – they were the better team against St. Louis in game one.
Yeah they were.
Right? And in Calgary, it's 1-1. I like Dallas. I like the way they're built. I think Dallas has the upper hand. But if Calgary wins that, that's not a shock. I mean,
what do you make of LeBron riling up the folks in Vancouver by saying that this team is a reminder of the 2009-2010 Chicago Blackhawks? these Vancouver Canucks.
Really? I didn't hear that comment.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was a horny tweet by Pierre.
That's a bit much. Calm down, Pierre.
No, it is a bit much, but I'll defend him in this sense, is that, you know, at that time, you don't know that the Hawks are going to be what they are now, right? At the time, this is kind of what they were. Like, Patrick Kane.
Yeah. He said, like, was Pettersson.
Pettersson and Kane. And yeah. I think he compared Taves to Horvat and Hughes to Duncan Keith. Right. And those are, for where those players were at the time, those are somewhat, you could look at that and say, yeah, there might be something to that.
Yeah. I thought it was a great tweet.
Well,
I mean, listen, I for Vancouver's standpoint, I hope he's right. That'd be incredible. I would say Chicago was in the conference final the year before that, I believe. Right. And then they broke through and won the cup the next year. Vancouver missed the playoffs last year.
True.
But, hey, listen, they're still in it, and they're up 1-0. And why not? Like, if you're Vancouver, if you're any of these teams at this point, I'm assuming the confidence is just going to continue to grow and grow. And it's a weird playing field. Like, Tuukka Rask indicated that. It doesn't feel the same. There's no real home ice advantage. Why can't
really
there be a wild card team?
I know we always say every year that if you get in, you have a chance, which, you know, I guess it has proven true most years. But I think, you know, some teams that they don't really think they have a chance. Maybe they have a chance to pull off a round or something like that. I really get the sense this year that it is, you know, it is like going to a Pee Wee hockey tournament where every single team in the bubble feels like this is a pretty level playing field and they could all win. You know, maybe Arizona doesn't feel that way in Chicago as much right now because they're down 0-2. But for the most part, like the start of this round, I feel like every team believed they had a chance to win the Stanley Cup, that this was a free-for-all. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to make it fun, I think, going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. And that's it. Good for Pierre, sticking his neck out.
Well,
I like it.
He was, yeah. I mean, he wasn't trolling. He was just saying, like, where's the Seabrook, though? And, you know, is Crawford, Markstrom? Like,
yeah, Markstrom's Duncan Keith, I think, won the Norris that year. But
right,
listen, like Quinn Hughes is getting a lot of deserved love.
He's awesome, man.
Yeah. He is pretty good, man.
Okay, here's one for you then, because Heiskanen was so good last night and has, I think, 7 points now. So you three, sorry, I'm taking over hosting duties. Hey, sorry, it's my fallback. pick, you got Hughes, Makar, or Heiskanen to start your franchise. Pick them.
Wow.
Makar for
Quinn
me.
Hughes. Quinn
I'm
Hughes
taking
for
Makar.
Me.
I'll say Heiskanen just to even everything out, because that's what the quiz master would want. I think last year it would have been Heiskanen.
Don't you think? Don't you think he's kind of forgotten because of the Heiskanen
around Makar? Like, this time last year, clearly it would have been Heiskanen. I mean, that goes without saying. Makar had barely played in the league. He played in the playoffs, and Quinn Hughes wasn't even in it yet. But right. Heiskanen, last year, everyone was saying, oh, he can win multiple Norris trophies, and now Makar and Quinn Hughes have taken over that chatter. But he plays in a market that doesn't get a lot of attention. And remember how he played in the playoffs last year? He was unbelievable.
Yeah, he is. He is an unreal player. Like, he actually might be the most talented out of those three. But, you know, I like Makar because he's more physical. Like, Makar's got a little bit of Rob Blake in him. Like, he likes that hip check. He uses his body. And he's got just as much skill as the other two, I think. And he loves to be up in the play. Like, mm-hmm. That guy drives.
They're all
the play.
Three great. They're great.
There's no wrong answer on that, because that Heiskanen was all over the ice yesterday, mm-hmm. all over it. Like, and so was Hughes. Like, I'm discounting Hughes. Hughes is so calm with the puck. He's so talented. Like, you're right. Like, the league is in good hands on the front end, the back end. You name it. They're pretty good. I mean, this Carter Hart's a goaltender too. He got pulled today, but
oh yeah, man. Today isn't going to change his reputation as an up-and-coming young goalie.
Hey, Noodles, I wanted to – the Hart lost it a little bit when he got pulled, you know, slammed the stick. I don't know if you guys caught that.
I saw that.
Now, that's a sympathy pull. He had no chance on the goal, which is a deflection off his own D-man. So is that frustration likely at himself, or is he upset at getting pulled there?
No, I think it's frustration on himself. Like, it was one of those games. Like, if you look at the third goal, Tatar is a shot on the glove. Like, there, to me, I think if he was a bit sharper, he probably makes one or two of those saves. And the fourth goal was kind of a like a cherry on top. It hits a skate and goes five hole. He's cheating towards the back door on the play. So I think it's just visible frustration because that was the fourth goal. He gets pulled. Everyone's talking about, you know, him playing against his idol. He wins game one against Carey Price and was really rock solid, really, really good in game one. So I think just frustration. I don't think he was pissed at AV for pulling him. And I think AV pulled him to try and get his team going because at that point they weren't doing much against the Habs. The Habs were the better team today, for sure.
Every goalie loves getting pulled when it gets to like 4-0, 5-0. It's like, get me out of here.
Well, it's embarrassing, though. Like, yeah. Think about it.
Get
like,
me out. Let someone else be embarrassed.
Yeah, but it's not even that. Now you got to sit there in your sweaty gear the rest of the game. And every time you know the director in the booth is like, flash on that goaltender, flash on, you know, like every goal goes in, they'll pan right back to the goalie sitting there. There's the guy who allowed four goals on 12 shots. And I hated being pulled. It was so embarrassing. And you got to live with it. And me being a backup, I wasn't guaranteed to go right back in the net. Like I may have to live with that for two weeks.
You had
to
marinate for a month.
Terrible.
Just
terrible.
Red wine after
Noodles,
a pull.
Is it worse getting pulled as the starter or going in for the starter against Washington, giving up a goal in about 2 minutes and getting pulled again?
What Daryl did to me? That one was tough because of the whole scenario. Like, I thought I was brilliant. I made this save on Bondra. It was the greatest save you've ever seen in your life. And then I allowed a muffin from behind the net, and Daryl hauled me out of there. And he didn't talk to me till the next day, and he tuned me up. But he came in the dress room after the second period and said to Roman Turek, "You can allow 100 in this period." He said, "You're not coming out of the net. You." And he calls him, "You lazy, you know what." But it was so funny. I was dying until Daryl tuned me up the next day. But
that was a plug for my book. That story's in the book.
Oh, is it? That one? I forgot about that.
Yeah, that one's in there.
Well, you got the new book coming out eventually. I mean, you're racking up like a whole series now. You're J.K. Rowling, basically.
Yeah, I want to have my goal is 24 hits, and we're all on Zoom, edition 4.0, doing our hits. I want my entire bookshelf to only be lined with my books.
I like it.
Behind me. I don't want anybody else's crappy books.
Yeah. Not even Bob's?
No, no Bob, no Noodles book.
We don't even say Bob's name anymore around here.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, okay. Bobby who? Bob's out.
He is just slaughtered right now on the deck of his cottage. Like, he's just red wine flowing, and he's toast.
That barbecue is cooking.
Yeah, I think
hot.
His Instagrams are going to get more and more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he's going to be, like, doing a selfie video on his mountain bike and just be like, "Hey, guys." Like, he's going to be doing that type of garbage.
Breaking news, too, I'm telling you. It's going to happen. He's going to have a scoop, and he's just going to be like, "Nah, one for good old times," and just shake up the Twitterverse.
I told him this whole thing's a joke. I mean, he's what do our listeners know Bob McKenzie for? Everybody driving in your car right now, think of the events that you associate Bob McKenzie with, okay? Okay, 2 seconds.
The
World
draft.
Juniors, trade deadline, free agent frenzy, NHL draft. He's still going to be doing them all. I told him, you're akin to like one of these NBA or NHL players who, you know, announces his retirement 2 years before so he can do like the victory lap and get all the accolades and all the different buildings. That's all Bobby's
true.
Done.
That's
here.
Right.
He's not really gone.
No,
joke.
We're going to see him a ton. It's so true. He'll be
he
back in
the building.
He wanted
attention. He wanted
attention. He's the best. We're going to miss him. Mo took about, I don't know if you guys caught the other night, Bobby's last night. It was, you know, great. I actually got emotional, like, seeing him leave there for the last time. And O was in his seat in 35 seconds. I think LeBron was in the studio going, is that the new insider position for me? No, I'm taking the seat.
O's
You're
got it.
Such a liar.
It's like the end of Good Will Hunting when they
seriously, go on. You always try to, all of you try to make me look like, this guy said I was sleeping an hour ago.
Yeah.
No, it was. I think you earned it. I think it should be the O seat. Maybe that should be a listener poll. Should O get the seat? O, Drager, Poulin, Noodles when he's in, who gets the seat?
I'd put O there. It's just that I think throughout this whole process, he's had that Muppet seat in the background, and that's got to stop. because, you know, to me, O has to be exactly beside you, right across the desk. So yep. I'm voting O in that spot.
Well, the thing I keep saying, Jamie, is I might as well be at home instead of the Muppet seat, because it's like, hey, what do you think back there? It's like I could do that from home.
All right, we got to run here. We'll figure out the seating arrangement at some point. But anyway, always appreciate it, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again.
Good chatting with you guys. Have an awesome weekend.
There's James Duffy, who's always in the one chair. Who's going to be in the two? That's still up for debate. We'll come back and wrap up the show. Tee up the weekend. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so big weekend coming up. We've got a play-in round in the NBA, Portland-Memphis. We've got the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've got a golf tournament. The Raptors kick off their playoff round against Brooklyn on Monday. So we're looking forward to talking about that and tracking their pursuit of a back-to-back title. And Vancouver just went up 1-0 in their game, too. So the Canucks are up 1-0. The Habs won big earlier today.
Apparently, Bo Horvat scored an unreal goal. So check that one out.
He's on fire.
The captain.
He's on fire.
Yeah, they got a lot cooking there, man. I mean, maybe Pierre LeBrun is.
Pierre. We got to get Pierre on next week.
Yeah, we do. Calling his shots. I like it. All right, so it'll be a fun weekend. We'll break it all down on Monday. We're out of here. Enjoy your nights. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at
3 Wood from 2:15.
Is that 4 p.m.?
Yes.
We'll chat then.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is a top priority. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan welcomes you to experience the Rediscover the Road sales event on now, where you can finance a 2020 Nissan Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or receive an up to $5,000 cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.